The first reading is taken from Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 3. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Second reading is from Psalm 85, verses 8 to 9. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near, those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. This is the word of the Lord.
John the Baptist talking about Jesus in John chapter 3, verses 30 to 35. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. And in John 14, verses 23 to 27, we read these words. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Now we invite Helen to decipher that. Just a quick prayer for you.
Thank you.
Sovereign Father, I lift Helen up to you. Put the words in her mouth that you want her to speak to us, and let them touch the people and their hearts and minds and souls as you wish them to be. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, today's actually the first Sunday of Christmas, and yet if you're like me, you'll be thinking Christmas has gone, tomorrow's New Year's Eve, and then festivities will all be over for another year. Some of us may even be thinking, thank goodness. It's also the time of year when historically New Year's resolutions are made to do things differently. And I thought it interesting that we nearly always think about doing. What are we doing? Christmas brings us a promise of good news, salvation, grace, peace, and joy in Jesus for those who believe in him. We've heard that a lot in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, all the carols that are played in the supermarkets are all speaking of Jesus bringing peace, joy, grace, and salvation. And the verses I chose today outline this. Isaiah 42 is speaking about Jesus, my servant whom I delight, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. And then a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. And John 3, where John the Baptist is saying this, he said, he must become greater, I must become less. And then in Psalm 85, the psalmist is saying, I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land, that God's glory will dwell in our land. And then in John 14, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And I love this sentence, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. And it struck me here that nowhere does Jesus demand anything of us except to love him, obey his teaching and receive his Holy Spirit. He does it all. Even if we're battered and bruised and backslidden, he holds on to us and promises that if we draw close to him and listen to him and reorientate our lives towards him and allow ourselves to be taught by his Holy Spirit, then he will give us a peace that anyone who doesn't know him will not experience. Furthermore, he and his Father will come to us and make their home with us. And all this is done from a place of absolute rest in him. We don't have to make an effort to strive or make ourselves good or do more or do all the things that we think we ought to be doing to make ourselves right. God does it from us saying, I need you. So we've been listening to people reflecting on their past year this morning. But I just wonder why our New Year's resolutions focus so much on us striving to do more, to make ourselves less, rather than just in drawing near and allowing Jesus to become greater. I can only speak for myself, but I've come to the conclusion that it is because I like to be in control. I don't like uncertainty. This year for me, the last year, has been a lot of uncertainty. I like to feel safe in my own estimation, and I like to hang on to my comfort blanket, whatever that may look like. I don't think I'm alone in this, really. We've all got our comfort blankets, whether we recognise them or not. Just thinking of some examples. They can be our jobs. For me, it was my job. I retired. I didn't realise how much I place significance and comfort and a place to be in my job. They can be our responsibilities. Another responsibility I've had this year is my mother, along I've been sharing it with my sisters, but it's been difficult in a way, and it's because I'm not in control, and it's uncertain, and I don't know where we're going with it, and I don't like it. It can be our families, our circumstances, what others may think of us, our health, or even our ill health, our skills, our knowledge, our significance, other people supporting us, or even others letting us down. I could go on, but I'll just go on to my next page. I don't need that anymore. It's anything that provides us with an excuse to justify our actions, have our own way, and hinder deep personal change other than on our terms. And I was struck by this story which I heard recently, which is called A Tandem Ride with God. And everybody knows what a tandem is, a bike with two seats, one at the front and one at the back. I didn't need to explain that really, but just to sort of get the picture. And he says, I used to think of God as my observer, my judge, keeping track of the things I did wrong so as to know whether I merited heaven or hell when I die. He was out there, sort of like a president. I recognised his picture when I saw it, but I didn't really know him. But later on, when I met Jesus, it seemed as though life was rather like a bike, but it was a tandem bike. And I noticed that Jesus was in the back, helping me pedal. I didn't notice just when it was he suggested we change places. But life has not been the same since I took the back seat to Jesus, my Lord. He makes life exciting. When I had control, I thought I knew the way. It was rather boring but predictable. It was safe. It was the shortest distance between two points. But when he took the lead, he knew delightful long cuts up mountains and through rocky places and at breakthrough speeds. It was all I could do to hang on. Even though it often looked like madness, he said, pedal. I was worried and anxious, and he asked, "Where are you taking me?" And I asked, "Where are you taking me?" He laughed and didn't answer, and I started to learn to trust. I forgot my boring life and entered into adventure. And when I'd say, "I'm scared," he'd lean back and touch my hand. He took me to people with gifts that I needed, gifts of healing, acceptance, and joy. They gave me their gifts to take on my journey, our journey, my Lord's and mine. And we were off again. He said, "Give the gifts away. They're extra baggage, too much weight." So I did, to the people we met, and I found in giving, I received, and still our burden was light. I did not trust him at first in control of my life. I thought he'd wreck it. But he knows bike secrets, knows how to make it bend to take sharp corners, jump to clear high rocks, fly to shorten scary passages. And I'm learning to shut up and pedal in the strangest places. And I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face with my delightful constant companion, Jesus. And when I'm not sure I just can't do any more, he just smiles and says, "Pedal." Phil Johnson writes something about this story. He says, "I'm learning how to trust God more deeply, to accept that the perfect solution to any problem or opportunity I face is already selected, and I will be guided to it in the perfect way and time. This makes life less frustrating to me, less fearful, and into more of an epic grand adventure. I can't figure it out. I can't get tied up in the hows, depending on my ego to try to figure it all out. I'm learning to let God take the lead and to trust. He knows bike secrets better than I do, and I'm learning to turn it all over to him and just keep on pedaling." And I thought it seemed appropriate this time to take a moment to reflect on the past year of our lives. Saint Ignatius wrote the spiritual exercises. The exercises begin by recommending that everyone be taught the Examen. In its simplest form, the Examen consists of us asking ourselves two simple questions. So firstly, we'll just take a moment to rest in the sure knowledge of God's unconditional love for us. No matter where we are, no matter what we feel at this moment in time, we open ourselves to an awareness of God's presence with us. Be still and know that I am God. Now think back over the past year. Where did I feel most grateful? Ignatius called this consolation. Where did I give and receive the most love? What was said and done in those moments? Now take time to express your gratitude to God. Now ask God to bring to your heart the moments for which you are least grateful. Ignatius called this desolation. When were you least able to give and receive love? Ask yourself, what was said and done in that moment which made it so difficult? Be with whatever you feel without trying to change it or fix it in any way. Just be really honest before God. You may wish to take deep breaths and let God's love fill you just as you are. Now respond to God in your review of your year in your own way. This may include thanksgiving, sorrow, seeking amendment, interceding for others, or reflecting on the attitude of your heart. Finally, we'll ask God for grace to live in the light of his presence in the coming year. Change me, God, into one who trusts you completely in all circumstances. Every day, in so many ways, I have big and small opportunities to trust. I surrender my ego, my mind, my fear, my trying to figure it all out, and simply turn it over to you, knowing that you will guide me through it all. Make me sensitive to your leading, not just in my mind, but through my heart and my spirit. Help me always to remember that your plans are good, you are smiling on me, and that everything will be more than okay when I trust in you. I can relax and enjoy the view and enjoy my life lived in your way with you. In Jesus' name, amen.